One of the accounts of the resurrection, we've just recently celebrated the resurrection on what is referred to by many as Easter Sunday. And just want to look at one of these accounts. Matthew chapter 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed, and this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. First of all, I just want to remind you of something that has been emphasized and emphasized and emphasized, and that is the fact that this is history, not mythology. This is not a once upon a time fairy tale. This is actually what happened. And as a result, it needs to be vivid in our minds and hearts and evident in our lives that Jesus Christ is alive. He's alive. He's not some ancient historical figure that we can learn about. He's alive. Can you say with me, he's alive? I'm telling you, that changes everything. It really does. Apart from that, Christianity is an utter waste of time. You'd be very foolish to be a Christian if it weren't for the fact that Jesus is alive. And that is also why it is possible for us to know him and have a relationship with him where we can enjoy fellowship with him. I mean, we can talk with him and he actually responds to us in answered prayer. Doesn't mean we always get what we want. Doesn't mean that he always says what we'd like to hear. It does mean that again and again, as you walk with God, you recognize his presence and you see his power being manifested as he answers prayer. Now, I want to point out just a few things here in this story. The first is that when the angel showed up, this was not Jesus, the resurrected Christ, that we're going to look at in this paragraph. When the angel showed up, it was scary. Okay? We've said before that the first words usually uttered by angels in the encounters in Scripture, first words usually are, don't be afraid. Now, the reason for that is because the people who encountered angels didn't say, oh, cool, it's an angel. That's not the response, okay? Instead, they're terrified. Well, why? Well, for one thing, this guy's appearance was like lightning. What does that mean? Well, lightning is bright compared to everything around it. Even, you know, though it's just this flash, it's this bright light. The power and the heat of lightning is, I've read various things comparing it to this, that, and the other. Let's just say this. It's really powerful. It's really bright. It's boom! And his appearance was bright, brilliant. He didn't look like a guy who just, you know, had a nice facial. He was bright, shining. And his clothes were white as snow. So, I mean, the overall impression of this guy is the glory of God. It is the brightness, the light that is shining. And it's scary. And, of course, his initial appearance coincided with an earthquake. And this huge stone that the ladies were concerned about, how are we going to, you know, who's going to roll away the stone for us? Huge stone. He's sitting on it. It's like, no problem. We got the stone out of the way. Now, the stone was rolled back not to let Jesus out of the tomb. Jesus was already resurrected. The stone was rolled back in order to let people see that the tomb was empty. That's very important for several reasons. But one of them ties right into my next point, and that is the twofold command here that the angel gives. One is, come and see, and the other is, go and tell. Okay? Come and see, and go and tell. The angel didn't say to the ladies, with his shining appearance, wait, stand back. He said, don't be afraid. Come and see. Check it out. Investigate. Some of you aren't sure what you believe about Jesus. Come and see. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to do research. Don't be afraid to read and study and learn. The truth can handle scrutiny. And it's perfectly fine for you to investigate all you want, because the more you honestly investigate, the more you will discover that the truth is really the truth. And people who have often in history set out to disprove the reality of God and the history of Jesus and his death and resurrection have become powerful apologists, powerful evangelists, spreading the news that this is true, because the more they investigated, the more they realized, oh my word, the evidence is overwhelming. So don't be afraid to check it out. Come and see. You're not sure? Come and see. Investigate. I've met person after person who doesn't believe the Bible. But the more we talk, the more it becomes clear they don't know the Bible. They don't know. They took a freshman or sophomore course in comparative religion, or maybe even a course on the Bible taught at some state university or some college that used to be a Christian college. And they had some professor who's got a beef against God, maybe because his sister died of cancer. I mean, these are personal stories, I know. His sister died of cancer, and since God didn't do what he wanted, he decided that there is no God. I mean, all kinds of reasons that people are bitter. They don't like the fact that God doesn't approve of what they want to do sexually, and so they decide that the Bible's not true, because they can't accept the truth and bow before God's authority. All kinds of reasons, all kinds of motives, but basically they come to a point where they don't believe, and so they're going to go to the university or they're going to go to a college somewhere and teach young people not to believe. Well, what I would say to you is, please come and see. Check it out. Learn, study. But study the book. Study the Bible. Don't just study a bunch of books about the Bible. Martin Luther said to his preacher students, those who wanted to become preachers, he said, study the Bible. Read the Bible. It will shed considerable light on the commentaries. Okay? Because you see, for Luther's, much of his early training in ministry was reading all kinds of things that people had said about the Bible. But it was when he started reading the Bible that his life was changed. Because there he found the gospel that had been obscured in the churches. So come and see. Come and see. And then go and tell. Once you've learned, until you know that this is true, you really don't have anything to tell. Okay? You don't have a message to bring to others until you know Jesus Christ yourself. But when you know Jesus, you've got something to share. Go and tell. Share with others. Talk with others about what Jesus has done for you. Now, the words, do not be afraid, in verse 5. Don't be afraid. They were not spoken to the guards. Okay? The angel didn't say to the guards, don't be afraid. And the reason is the guards were not following Jesus. They weren't trusting Jesus. They were just there at Jesus' tomb because they'd been assigned to make sure that nobody stole the body. Well, they've got every reason to be scared. Okay? If you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, you have every reason to be nervous. You have every reason to be fearful. Because you're in a precarious position headed toward an eternity of torment if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ. There is only one way to be saved, and it's in Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you do not know Jesus Christ, you have every reason to be scared. Because there is a God, you're not Him, you've broken His rules. I don't need to know anything about you except that you're a human to know that you've broken His rules. Because we are all, by nature, sinners. We are born sinful. And we do bad things and we fail to do good things because of our sinful nature. So that's all. If you're human, you're a sinner. Okay? How dare you call me a sinner? Who do you think you are? A sinner. Okay. Takes one to know one. All right? So I'm not saying anything about you that I'm not saying about me when it comes to saying that you're a sinner. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. But the good news is that Jesus came to save sinners. Hallelujah. I am so glad. That means I'm eligible. All right? Now, the guards were not told, do not be afraid. And sometimes fear can actually be your friend. Because if you're afraid to jump off the chimneys, okay, that's good, okay? If you're afraid to lie down in the middle of a campfire, that's good. That's good. If you know that it's best not to run your hands over a chainsaw blade while it's running, that's good. That's good. Sometimes fear can be your friend if it keeps you from doing something that's really insane. And if fear wakes you up to the fact that you had better find peace with God through Jesus Christ, that's good. I've heard people say, don't come to Jesus just because you don't want to go to hell. Hey, I think that's a perfectly good reason. Okay? I've been riding on airplanes a lot lately. And everybody I sit next to, I don't, you know, hi, my name's Jim Wood. I'd like to tell you about how you can keep from going to hell. That's not how I start my conversations. I will often say something like, so are you headed toward home or away from home? I mean, that's a question most people can answer. You know? I mean, if they say, I don't know, you know it's going to be an interesting ride. But, you know, usually they'll say, well, I'm headed toward home. I say, oh, that's a good feeling, isn't it? We talk about that. Or they'll say, well, I'm headed away from home. And I'll say, oh, is this for work? Or are you going on vacation? We just start chatting. That's before the plane has taken off. All right? So we just talk just a little bit, and then sometimes, depending on how the Spirit leads, I'll say something like, when they go to tell everybody to turn off their cell phones and other electronic devices before takeoff, and a whole bunch of people around you don't want to do that, they don't comply, and the flight attendants have to come back and tell them again, you need to turn that off right now. At that point, I sometimes say to them, the reason they make us do that is because the most dangerous parts of the flight are as we're taking off and as we're landing. Now, if they break into a sweat at that point, then I know they are a little nervous. And a whole lot of people, even people who fly all the time, are nervous. Let me tell you something. If you don't know Jesus, you should be nervous. You should be nervous. I want to say that again, and I want to make it clear. If you don't know Jesus, you should be nervous. You should be fearful. You ought to be scared out of your mind. Because the fact of the matter is, you are hanging by a thread over the fires of hell. So if you don't know Jesus, you've got reason to be scared. It was the followers of Jesus, those who loved Jesus, to whom the angel said, "Don't be afraid." And then when Jesus meets up with these women, he too says to them, "Don't be afraid." Here's the great news. If you know Christ, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. I don't mention the fact that the most dangerous parts of the flight are takeoff and landing because I'm really nervous. Let me tell you, if we make it, I'm going to have another opportunity to serve God. If we don't make it, I'm going to be in the presence of God for all eternity. I will no longer have aches and pains. I will not be allergic to floral pollen. Okay? I will have every blessed joy forever. How could I possibly be nervous about that? I mean, folks, please understand this. If you know Jesus Christ, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid.
But I'm thinking that the economy may be on the verge of collapse.
Well, it could. It could.
I saw a story in the news about the North Koreans moving missiles over to the side where they could actually potentially hit Guam.
Well, are you in Guam? Okay. Somebody may be watching and saying, "Yes, I'm in Guam." Don't be afraid. Okay? Don't be afraid. If you know Jesus, you're going to be fine. If you don't know Jesus, be afraid. Be afraid. But it doesn't take North Korean missiles to take you out. You can be a healthy person just having a great checkup from the doctor, and on your way home, somebody crosses the yellow line, and you're gone. You better be ready.
I think that man is trying to scare those children.
I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to teach you how to not be afraid. There's a major difference. There's a major difference. I don't want you to be saying, "Oh, well, I'm not afraid because I don't think anything could possibly happen to me," because that's just fantasy. But if you're saying, "I'm ready to see Jesus, so I don't have to be afraid," then you really don't have to be afraid. And that's the way I want you to live. So, don't be afraid, key phrase. Come and see, key phrase. Go and tell. Go and tell. Now, Jesus met these ladies as they hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy. Do you ever have mixed feelings? Do you ever have mixed feelings? You know, on the one hand, you feel this, but on the other hand, you know this. And so you're feeling this, but you know this. Well, which one's controlling your behavior? These folks were basing their behavior on the truth that they had been told. They'd been told, come and see, go and tell. Now they're going, as they were told. Go quickly and tell his disciples. He's risen from the dead. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you'll see him. Now I've told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. As they obeyed the word, they met Jesus. Please get that. You've heard me say many times that all of Jesus' miracles occurred in the context of obedience. There was always something people were told to do. And in the context of obedience, God's miraculous power is manifested. Do you want to know God better? Obey him. Do you want to encounter Jesus in a powerful way? Obey his word. As they obeyed what they'd been told, Jesus suddenly appeared to them. And when they saw him, they came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. They worshiped him. I thought we were only supposed to worship God. We are. Oh, this is they worshiped him. Right. Because Jesus is God. He's not just close to God, not just kind of like God, not just part of God. As you've been hearing in your study on the Trinity, Jesus is God. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Spirit is God. How many gods are there? One God. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, they worshiped him. What an image. They clasped his feet and worshiped him. They were able to touch God. Wow! I wish I could be that close to God. Oh, it's better. It gets better. Because the ministry of the Holy Spirit, he's not just with us now, he is in us. That was Jesus' promise. He that is with you, Emmanuel, God with us. He that is with you shall be in you. I get to be closer than they were. They were reaching outside themselves to lay hold of the Son of God. Now, because of what Jesus provided, I get to have God himself alive in me. Wow. How amazing is that? You know, one of the consequences of that? I don't have to be afraid. When I'm riding on an airplane, guess who's sitting in my seat? Jesus. By his Spirit, living in me. And that's the reason that instead of just trying to catch a little sleep on the plane, which I usually desperately need, I'm trying to see if there might be one more person who needs to know the Lord that I can talk to about Jesus. I've had some wonderful conversations and gotten great emails from people after some of those flights thanking me for the conversations we had and how God used that in their life. I'm also meeting some wonderful people who know Jesus, some of whom need to come back to him, and God's dealt with them about issues in their life, and others who are just eager to serve him and thrilled to find out about my hope with Billy Graham. Okay? So, I mean, I don't really like air travel. Spending a long time riding along in a large tube filled with germs for a hypochondriac germaphobe, you know, surrounded by people going, and other people, and I'm like, oh, Lord, please protect me. But I pray every time I'm getting on that God will put me next to the person he wants me to be next to. And I'm telling you, we've had some great conversations. So it's just, you know, it's just an opportunity to serve him. So, Jesus met them. They worshiped him. And he said to them, don't be afraid, go and tell. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they'll see me. Now, you have, and we're not going to really deal with it this morning. We've dealt with it before, but you have the report there about the guards. That idea that the disciples came and stole the body is still around in certain circles today. The amazing thing is it's based on testimony of people who are saying what somebody else did while they were sleeping. Okay? Let's just say that wouldn't stand up in court. Okay? If I were to tell you, last night, while I was sound asleep, Mr. David Zimmerman came into my living room and borrowed Wayne Grudem's Systematic Theology from my bookshelf. Okay? You say, how do you know? Well, it was missing this morning, and Mr. David has an interest in such things. Okay. Well, but how do you know it was him? Well, I just know. Well, I thought you said you were sound asleep. Did he leave a note? No, but I thought to myself, what else could possibly have happened? I can't find my Wayne Grudem Systematic Theology, so David Zimmerman must have come in last night and gotten it and taken it out of my house. You'd say, Pastor Wood is acting crazy. Right? For these people to give testimony about what somebody else did while they were sleeping is foolish. But it was enough. Now, the reason they said if the word gets to the governor, we'll keep you out of trouble is because these guys could be executed, okay, for having failed in their duty to keep watch at the grave. They did not fall asleep. They fell down like dead men when the angel showed up because they were so terrified. They couldn't stand up. I have seen people so overcome with fear that they collapsed. Okay? Men as well as women who were so terrified by something, they just fell down. That's what happened to these guards. These guys were professional warriors. And all of a sudden, because they were facing an angel who was obviously far superior to their collective force. Remember in the Old Testament, 185,000 soldiers killed by one angel in one night? Don't mess with angels, okay? But angels serve God, and they are appointed on our behalf.
Pastor Wood, are you ever going to talk about the fact that each of us has an angel?
Not today. But I want you to understand the Bible does talk about these tremendously powerful beings that God has appointed to serve on our behalf. And they, with all of their tremendous power, are puny compared to God. All the angels bow before him. And you and I, who are in Christ Jesus, will one day serve to judge angels. They will be subject to us in eternity. Wow. All right. Verse 16 and following. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Remember what it said about the ladies? Afraid, yet joyful. They were afraid, yet filled with joy. These guys, they worshipped him. They worshipped Jesus. Why? Because he's God. They worshipped him, and yet there were still some doubts. There were still some doubts. And Jesus would work with them over a period of time to help them work through those doubts. You know what? Jesus will work with you. If you'll do what he says, he'll work with you. You say, I still have questions. Well, he's got answers. He doesn't promise to answer all your questions the way you want on your timetable. There have been some questions that bothered me for years before God gave me an answer. And then I thought, well, yeah. But it took me a long time to get there. God asks us oftentimes to proceed in obedience on the basis of faith when he has not yet told us the answer to our question. But as we obey, miracles happen. great things unfold. There are a lot of things I still don't understand. I'm getting on up in years. There's a lot I still don't understand. But there are some things I know. And folks, it's not just what I know. I can say with the Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know him. I know him. And so I'm not just interested in giving people information. I want to spend my life introducing people to the one who saved me. And that's what we go to tell. Jesus is alive. I want you to meet him. I want you to know him. I want you to trust him. I want you to follow him. Because Jesus is alive. Don't just learn about him. Know him. Trust him. Love him. Serve him. They worshiped him. And then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." How much authority? All authority. How much authority? All authority. All authority in heaven and on earth. It's all his. There are people who feel as if Christianity is in trouble. Christianity's not in trouble. Christianity's not in trouble. There are a lot of churches that are in trouble. There are a lot of people who claim to be Christians who are in trouble. There are a lot of cultures where the gospel has been preached that are still in trouble. But Christianity, not in trouble. Because all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. He is not running for office. The fact of the matter is, even as religion in the West is in trouble, Jesus is doing fine around the world. Okay? People are getting saved all over the place. Tons of Jewish people are discovering that Jesus is the Messiah. Believers in Yeshua HaMashiach are becoming more numerous in the land of Israel. And in the Muslim countries, people are seeing visions and being drawn to God. And they're discovering that Jesus really is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And that God loves them and offers them eternal life in Jesus. And so I want you to understand something. Though there is persecution in many places, the church is growing. The question for us is, what role will we play in the spread of the gospel? Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age." I would say to you, dear people, don't be afraid. Come and see, and go and tell.